Frank Show here in the studio. Very special because we have Great White in the studio. Welcome, guys.
Yeah.
We have Mark, Michael, Scott, Adi, Terry, and you just heard in the last break the interview that we did with Jack Russell. He's in doing Jack Russell featuring Great White. And we brought up...
Great White featuring Jack Russell. Yeah. So it's all very confusing.
Doesn't even matter, does it, right? Because right. You guys are the Great White. I keep saying the other Great White, but this is the Great White?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, you know, he hired four people. And this is basically the core of the band.
Right.
We've been in every video, every Great White song you've ever heard. We played, we wrote, we performed, we were in, you know... Every live album you've ever heard, it's us playing. So I've actually even heard that, well, is Great White featuring Jack Russell, which would intimate to me that I would be showing up and Michael
right.
and Adi, you know.
Right.
So, and I actually heard even when he was on the road, he had to go to the hospital, and the band performed as Great White featuring Jack Russell without Jack Russell. So people show up and see these four guys. And to my knowledge, they've never, you know, they're not really established as far as like, oh, one guy came from so-and-so band that, you know. So they've never been in established bands. They didn't come from, you know. So
but you guys are
basically
an established
hired
band.
Guns, you know.
Yeah.
Not saying there's anything wrong with that. A lot of people are hired guns and they're great musicians or whatever. But
the essence
of the
band, the heart
part
of the
is
band.
To say it's Great White featuring Jack Russell when it isn't.
Because you are Great White.
Yeah. So what? How
so it's
can,
just Jack Russell and a bunch
Jack
of guys.
Jack Russell is one person. You know what I'm saying? One person. A band is, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's a group of people. It's not one guy.
Right.
So how can one guy be a band?
In the interview with Jack, he said that he got sick. And so he had, around that time is when you guys, you know, you're still touring and he couldn't go on tour because he had some... perforated colon or something.
Getting
and so,
sick is, you know, it's basically in 2009. He was just spiraling downhill so fast, and he from just addiction. I mean, it was just
which he would admit,
plain and
right?
Simple.
You're not saying anything that he wouldn't admit.
That he wouldn't say,
right?
That he wouldn't admit to. What happened was he was becoming, you know, a liability not only to us and his family, but to himself, because he was literally falling down everywhere. I mean, we would walk in airports, he'd fall down, airplanes falling down in hotels, falling on
How
stage.
How could he perform on stage if he's like that?
Well, we literally, at one point, we would have to prop him up on a stool. I mean, he was literally falling on stage. The
it was
problem
like
with falling on
Bernie's,
stage.
But it's week.
Well, yeah, weekend
at Bernie's. When you're performing at a show these days, it's not like you can go out and play a bad performance and nobody's, you know, it's just going to fly by. It's going to be on YouTube.
Right.
You're going to have 100,000 hits in 4 weeks.
Look how bad this is.
They're going to rewind your fall. And, you know, but the problem was, it is with him, is his bones are so fragile and so brittle from the years of steroid abuse that when he, you know, has a minor fall, like you or I would maybe get a bruise, he breaks his leg in 13 places. You
wow.
know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
He literally, it became so bad that his body tissue, like what I heard was getting thin or something.
Just deteriorating.
Where he had to get a colostomy bag and all this stuff. That took him off the road. And I have been by his bedside in so many hospitals. Literally day after day in rehab by his bedside, praying with the guy. I had him baptized with my pastor.
So for him to say you've never been
that
there.
I've never been there for him.
Not fair.
I've tried everything known to man. I work with a lot of addicts, a lot of alcoholics. And the ones that are successful are the ones that want it for themselves. Hmm. When I've even gone to guys in the program that have 30 plus years sobriety and go, is there anything else I'm missing here? Is there anything else I can do?
And at some point, you just have to go, I'm washing my hands.
It literally became so bad, it was affecting me. I became his pain medication guy. I was literally going to his house 3 times a day to, here's your 4 little pills and, you know, doing that. But it was a dog and pony show. He was doing things behind my back, and it was really affecting me mentally, physically, my family.
So was this an ultimatum, like an intervention where you were like, hey, listen, if you don't clean yourself up, then, you know, we're going to have to move on as great
absolutely.
White.
And what I did was I just basically backed off and I said, I'm putting him into prayer mode. He literally would call my wife almost every day going, you know, tell Mark to call me. I go, you know what? I don't even want to hear about your conversations with him until he sounds focused and clear. Well, the summer of 2011, she came up to me that after being at the ranch. She came up and she goes, you're not going to believe it, hon. He sounds so good right now. It's insane. I have not heard him sound this clear forever. I called him immediately. I said, okay, this way I deal with my addict people and guys.
Yeah, you have
I go, call me every day at 9:30, bro. This is it. One day at a time, we can do this. We can do it, you know, because
right.
we want to be a team on this. He called me 3 days in a row, 9:30 on the nose every day. Day four comes along. No 9:30. You know, and I'm not going to call him.
You're, okay,
that's
yeah.
the whole point. Is, you know, he's got to call me, and then we talk, and, you know, the brotherhood, everything's going. He calls me at 7, and he's impaired. He doesn't sound well. So I go, okay, here I go again. I'm just going to back off if he clears up, you know. I mean, I couldn't enable
him. You're wasting
him
too much
longer.
Of your energy.
I could not enable him any longer.
Right.
As far as, you know, he was conversing with my wife every day. Around December of 2011, she comes to me and says, he just told me he's going to take the band name and move on. I go, take the band name? I hadn't even thought of this, right? So I called an entertainment attorney friend of mine, and I go, dude, my singer says he's going to steal our band name or something. I go, is there anything I can do? Or, you know, I just have to watch it happen? Or, you know, can that happen? He's going, well, he said, what you should do is, and you're completely within your rights to trademark the name to protect yourself.
Because
you know?
That hadn't already been done after
so,
30 years.
No, no. So what we did was we just trademarked the name, you know, to protect our rights to the band name.
Sure.
Isn't there like a,
what happened
a great
was,
white fishing
what
tour?
Happened was,
great white.
A couple of days after we did that, he went in and did the same thing, not knowing we did that. And he says, oh, I was devastated. I was devastated. They tried to take the band name. The only reason he found out we did that is because he tried to do it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah,
you
we're
mean
the
they were here an hour ago?
He was devastated because his friends did this to him when he was going to do the same thing to us. But the only thing, if you're going to do something to someone, do not warn their wife because, you know, they might tell the husband.
Yeah. Oh,
which
my
she,
goodness.
You know, she came straight to me and told me.
Heidi and Frank Show, sitting here with Great White, so talking to Mark Kendall. The rest of the band's in here. They got their instruments in there, and talking about what happened to the original group. What happened to Jack and that whole situation? Jack was on last 2 weeks ago and was saying things like, you know, if you guys hate his guts and you weren't supportive, and I'm hearing, you know, you were
that's
extremely supportive.
That's absolutely not true. And this isn't a situation where we got in some huge fight and, you know, oh, that's it, I'm done. Or it wasn't even that situation. We watched a guy just self-destruct and literally, you know, he became so free. His legs, from all the opiate abuse, it stripped all the muscle mass.
Yeah, so he had a cane when he was
literally,
in here.
Yeah, he's walking with a cane now, which is a big improvement, vast improvement, because we used to have to use wheelchairs. But, you know, this band's been around 30 years. We're total pros in the sense that we know what our job is. When we get hired to play, it's kick maximum mass time. It's not wheeling people up to the stage because they've abused drugs. You know, so our whole thing was go get well, dude. Get well.
We'll keep
treat
the name
yourself
alive.
Well and come back sober, healthy, jump around on stage because that's the Jack Russell we all know. That's the one our fans know. And, you know, when people come see us play, they want to see a singer out there commanding the stage like he used to.
Mark, what if he wasn't well and that he knows that he could never perform again and all that? Does he just think that a great white should just go away and you guys just do your own thing? It's like, that's not fair thinking.
What I think it is, I just don't think he's I don't think he's quite right in his head right now. That's just my opinion. I just think if he went somewhere for maybe a year or something, and just, you know, really, the whole bottom line is, when you have addiction, you need to surrender that right out of the gate. The first thing you need to do is surrender to your addiction. You win. Okay, you know, can somebody give me some directions here? I really want to get sober. He always does it for us, or for his wife,
right,
for his girlfriend. You can't. Like I told my wife, I quit smoking 3 months ago. I go, I didn't quit because you don't like the smell. I go, you know, I didn't quit because mom don't like the smell. I quit because I want to be a healthier
right, yeah,
person. You
right,
know,
you did
I want,
it for you.
You know, so I'm saying, so you can't quit for other people. You have to do it for yourself. And you know, so it was basically a dog and pony show. I care about this guy. I'm, you know, his addiction's just winning. He can snow the crowd.
So you think
really
he is still using?
An addict's way is to blame the world for everything. Oh, they didn't call me, or these. We call them. I mean, this isn't a case of abandonment, and that's his claim, is abandonment.
So the healing process that you've been wanting Jack to go through
hasn't
not even really started.
We don't want to hear about your sobriety. We want to see it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And it just wasn't happening, you know, and it still isn't.
Yeah, even during that time, you made a great point with his interview last week, you know, that you guys don't hang together
right
when you got a break. Yeah. The reason we've been together 30 years is we always figured out a long time ago that when you have downtime with your family.
Right.
So when you get back with your band guys, you're truly excited to see them. So we always had that demarcation of that's biz, that's our downtime.
Two different worlds.
So we weren't close in our downtime, but we knew that we'd be close when we'd be back out on the road again.
Right.
So for the claim to be levied of, you know, family, 30 years, we were so close, you know, it's not really, I mean, you know the reality.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's exactly. I mean, it's like, I mean, I probably talk to Heidi more than I talk to my lady on a daily basis. And so, I mean, but this is it. I mean, some people walk into the studio and Heidi and I, we're not talking to each other. Like, what's going on in there?
Are they mad at each other?
No, we save every moment for when this microphone is on.
Yeah.
And so it's like for you
it's new,
we totally
fresh.
Understand that.
Yeah, totally.
For her
get
to go,
it.
I can't believe you didn't call me. I'm like, what?
And during that time, you know, when he was in the coma.
Yeah.
However many days that allegedly lasted.
It was a doctor-induced coma.
Yeah,
I
went to the hospital with Aubie Steinman, our manager. And
you
we
did
sat
go.
At his bedside.
Oh, yeah.
I was there. You know, we were there for like an hour and a half, and he kept nodding in and out. So, you know, we stayed as long as we could. And we like.
So he didn't even tell the truth about you didn't show up at the bedside.
Right. So we did that. And all during that time when... you know, throughout the year and a half before, you know, he came across with the, you know, sending us the letter of, you know, you're terminated. I'm taking the name.
Was that like a belly laugh moment? Like,
well,
we're terminated.
You know,
come on.
You know, I can't even describe what the moment is because I couldn't even talk about the other letter he sent. But the whole thing was during that time, I was texting him at least 3 or 4 times a week. Talking to him at least 3 or 4 times a month. So for him to make the claim that nobody was conversing with him is fabricated.
The other thing, you know, you have to realize that when we were on tour, it wasn't just about going to the hotel, going to sound check, playing the show. It was about, you know, emergency care.
Right.
You know, Walgreens, you know.
Instead of doing job one, which is entertain a sea of people who have come to see
it. It creates so much drama, so much stress. It's no longer about having fun playing music and joining our fans. You know, the stage, the rock.
But now we're back to that, right?
Now it's fun
again,
right?
Your current album's out now?
It's such a relief.
And you were saying when you were in the studio doing this current album, it's like you felt like you were 9 years old again. Like the entire thing you remember about being in music and doing what you do was revitalized with the Great White that it is now, because you had to do all this other crap.
All the distractions.
While trying to be doing what you love. And you were probably doing both because you didn't want to lose what you love. And now you're back going, we didn't have to have that. We didn't have to have that anchor or that that distraction or that thing holding us back. So when we come back, you guys got your instruments. We'd love to hear you guys play. And we'll talk a little bit more with Great White. We are Heidi and Frank.